Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
July 28, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Hold on a second. You're listening to the O'Shelly Effect, and I am Chuck O'Shelly. So, it is Thursday, the second to last broadcast day of the week for the O'Shelly Effect. And that's the way things are rolling. We're going to change formats next week, though, a little bit, because I think I'm going to start breaking things into half-hour pieces. But that means that you'll get 2 half-hours with our first hour co-host for the night, and that is Mike Swanson, the guy behind WallStreetWindow.com. Be in the know. Go to WallStreetWindow.com. It's not just about Wall Street, number one. Number two, he's an author. He's a lot of things, actually, and just a nice guy in general, who I'm happy to call my friend. But he's also an author, and a significant one at that, because even my friends, I would tell them that their books suck. And Mike's books don't suck. 2 of them that I would advise you to check out. You like that, Mike? There's a promo for you. Mike's books don't suck. Put that at the top of your website. Anyway.
That's good.
WallStreetWindow.com, you could go there and you could see pictures of something called The War State, which is that red-covered book. I have advised people to read it for a long time. It gives a very interesting window into a particular part of history, which I often focus on. Anyway, a lot of information in there, and the first in a series of 3, potentially, regarding the Vietnam War. Why the Vietnam War? Oh, coincidentally, you might hear commercials for those books during the break here on the O'Shelly Effect, but and during everybody else's show. Even if it's a weird show, and we've had a few of those lately, don't worry, lots of podcasts are getting published tonight. I did take a little extra time working on the book. But all of that stuff. By the way, Mike, have you gotten your copies of the audiobook yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because I didn't know if I put you on the email list or if you wanted to go to the website.
No, you just need to put me on the list.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything.
Oh, man, my bad. Okay.
Oh, it's a good thing you asked.
Yeah, no, I thought you were on one of the lists, so I thought you were getting it already. But there's been 3 main releases so far, and for the rest of 2022, yes, I'm going to keep releasing chapter by chapter, I think, unless I got to combine chapters at some point, about a 2-hour audiobook for each section of my life story, and I'm going to include some bonus material in there. So there's going to be some other rough draft audiobooks, not written by me necessarily. You'll have to sign up, get involved, get on Patreon, something to find out about those. But now I got to add Mike Swanson to the email list. And if you're listening and somehow you have subscribed and haven't gotten a hold of it yet, let me know. info@ocelli.com or blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com. But meanwhile, I'm actually not here to promote myself tonight, although I might discuss it a little bit in the second hour. Mike Swanson is with me. As I said, WallStreetWindow.com, Why the Vietnam War is a book, and it's the first in a series of 3 on the war. It is unique, for starters, and more to come, plus The War State. I call it essential reading, and indeed I have a copy and have had a few copies throughout the lifetime of the book. Have one on my shelf here. I don't know if I have yours signed. I hope I do. But if not, I got to get a signed. I got to get you to sign it, Mike, because it's that important. I don't even go after author's signatures. But if you don't have a copy of The War State or Why the Vietnam War, you need to get it. Okay. Now that I've gone and talked a whole lot, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you. You said you're going to do some changes and split the show up in 30-minute segments, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be better if I take a break at the half-hour point starting next week. Like, pretty much, I know I'm doing what Jack Blood has decided to do with his show, but it seems to me like I think it's going to give me more options. And I've had a few people talk to me about coming on the show and not wanting to do a full hour. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You want to come on for 30 minutes. You think you can get all the points you want in 30 minutes. Let's do it. Let's increase the pace a little bit. And that means, obviously, I'm going to give you 2 30-minute segments. if you want, and if you don't, if you want to do a 30-minute segment, we'll start doing a 30 with you on Thursdays.
Okay, sure.
we are waiting to hear back from Larry Hancock, who's had a problem. When he comes back, though, he could do 30 or he could do an hour. It'll just give me more options, and I think it'll be better for those people with shorter attention spans. So we're doing that, and we do have a new show on Sunday, which is Get Mad with Chris Graves. I think he's going to stay in the one-hour format. The change is only for my show. And Jack Blood is already in 30-minute segments. Aaron's show won't be affected, and the shows I have coming up will also not be affected. Jack Blood's show is already like that. But anyway, yeah, I think it's going to give us a little more of an edge, because sometimes, you know, we're in the midst of a conversation, and we might need to take a break off air for a moment and say, you know what, I didn't get to this, I didn't get to that. And on the other hand, maybe you only want to put up with me for 30 minutes, Mike. I don't know. So better options. Anyways,
well, there's different ways we could do it. We could do a 30-minute segment like we usually do, and then the next 30 minutes take some phone calls or something. We can figure things out.
That's what I'm saying. More options. That's all.
Because, I mean, I could tell you, I did an interview today with some guy. He does it once a month. He's in. It's all stock market stuff. And I usually talk 15 minutes nonstop.
Which guy, Sirica or?
Oh, no, this guy's name is Jim Goddard. He's based in Vancouver. He used to be a television person, actually, and now he's like a radio host. I'm trying to make changes too, find something that works. That's really what I've been doing for over a year.
Yeah.
I took a hammer to my business and I had a paid trading subscription. People were paying me money for years.
Right.
And I just stopped it for all kinds of reasons. But one of them is I just want to make a change and be more just a pure news site and not so much about the stock market, although I still talk about it quite a bit.
Sure, sure. But you know, that's the interesting thing. Your site has already been going through this transition, and we've talked about it on the show. I didn't know if you wanted to discuss, for instance, you know, you're looking at YouTube now and reevaluating the way things are done on there, which I need to do as well. Look, I am not here saying I'm an expert on how to produce the media even. It's always changing. So I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, what you're learning about YouTube.
I'll just
touch
on a little bit. I don't want to.
No problem.
It's not like I got secret information. It's quite the opposite. Yeah. I don't want to make a lot of. I'm experimenting with it, and I don't want to say I've got the right answer till I see that the experiments work.
Exactly.
But what partly has happened is, I've got like a document, a business planning document, and I just put various ideas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the top, I try to organize them with different projects to do.
Right.
And I've got like one of them is to really change the website, and another one was YouTube. And I read and I'm trying to do local news stuff. I'm trying to do all kinds of different things. And I decided to put YouTube at the top and try to fix that before doing these other things, you know. And
that's a project in and of itself, honestly. There are people that exclusively, that's all they do is produce stuff for YouTube. And there are people that produce different types of content, not like us with information necessarily. But, I mean, a lot of the guys that still do very well make a good living. You know, they do stuff like toys, really. They literally will get on YouTube and play with a toy. I'm talking grown people, by the way. There's that success of that Ryan kid who, you know, transitioned from being like a YouTube star into a TV star. And, you know, now he's got his own line of toys and all that. But, I mean, there are grown people who go on and show you toys on YouTube. And they get paid for that, for playing with toys on YouTube for like 15 minutes. Now, I'm not saying that you and I are going to go do that. I mean, you want to do that? Let's produce a Sesame Street,
well,
Mike.
Well, I've done something close to that today.
Okay. Okay.
I put a video up this morning. Well, what happened was I've been puzzled by my own video results, and they haven't been very good at all.
Right.
And I haven't really understood why. And now I think I know. But what was happening was YouTube itself has like instructional videos that they put out.
Yes, they do.
And when you have the channel, you can see all these statistics and data. Well, and
anybody can do that. But I'll tell you, when you've been on there for a while and you produce enough content, then they start telling you, well, we have a newsletter for you. And we also have these little, you want to get involved in the special conference and all this other stuff. And look, I'm not saying, oh, I don't have time for it because I'm some star or something. But the truth is, a lot of it is just gigantic. Like, I don't need this. You know, I'm not going to make a living on YouTube. I'm not going to be able to just monetize, which is the primary thing they used to push, is that you could monetize your videos. And if you do things a certain way, you'll get, you know, viewership from around the world, repeat customers, like any other business. And based on the fractions of pennies we'll pay you, you'll be able to make a living. Now, there are people that do that with millions of views, but they have definitely thinned the herd regarding that. And you can get away with it a lot more with toys or movie reviews or, you know, some kind of a themed channel where you play practical jokes or you know, something like this, right? Not very serious commentary. And there are people that are taking their own, you know, artistic creations, and now they have their own little line of cartoons, or they're going to read to you from a comic book that they created, and you're going to watch the pages flip on YouTube. I'm not begrudging anybody anything, but this is not what I'm focused on, you know? And there are formulas for those people that they try to give to us, not just through the, you know, a suggestion tab, which they have also, but they also want us to get involved and take surveys and... It's this very, very time-consuming thing. And if all I wanted to do was make money on YouTube, I'd probably be all in on all that stuff. I'd go to that, and then they have different things, of course, where it's like, not only do we have the free stuff here, but we have YouTube success stories that you can learn from. How do you get your golden button, right, Mike? You know, I mean, all this kind of stuff. It's not where I'm headed, but I wouldn't turn it away if I could get, you know, some more viewers, a bigger presence on Google, stuff like that. They're never going to allow me to monetize because it's too controversial. Every time I turn around, a new controversy comes along that apparently I'm not on the right side of. So, and that includes, by the way, even a more intense push on stuff as simple as talking about the JFK assassination. Because now you have the little disclaimer thing that comes down and they tell you, you know, don't really listen to this guy. Go to Wikipedia. Right? Okay. And go to the National Archives or read the Warren Commission report of all things, depending on what you mention. If you have controversy, YouTube is not really your friend at this point, unless you're part of a greater corporate entity, in which case they all got in on the act. It used to be all independent people too, Mike, but nowadays even the, you know, the MSNBC specialized channel, or, you know, these different guys who have TV shows, and now they have just a, this is our YouTube exclusive stuff. They can get away with that so long as they stay within certain lines, right? So, not for me necessarily, but I don't know. I think it could still be a very useful platform for you.
Well, if I can get this to work. I think I can, but here's something. I'll just give you an example of something well, first of all, I'm really trying to work on this for like probably 90 days, but I believe there's questions I have about YouTube as I'm doing this that I think I don't believe I have the answers to right now, but some things that it struck me, there's, as you mentioned, you know, there's all these giant, there's people making all this money, there's people with all these big followings, and then you have these corporations on there.
Right.
But one thing that's very, it just really, I just really struck me this week is an oddity about YouTube is that local news and local personalities that I'm following the local news where I live in like 10 counties. Some of them are cities. Greensboro, North Carolina is a big, you know, big cities. And none of these YouTube people, TV stations, whatever it is, there's no one getting a huge following, you know, on local news.
Very few.
I discovered where I live, 20 miles from me, there's a woman. I mean, I've just found this by happenstance, who's one of these YouTube people making all this money. She's putting up videos getting 100,000 views, and what she lives on a farm, and she's doing videos about that. So it's like a niche topic, and I'm not setting out the goal of, you know, trying to become some YouTube star, but I'm just using this as an example that here's a local person where I live making all this, you know, a YouTube star is what she really has become.
Right.
And I sent a link to one of her videos to two reporters where I live, and they never heard of her. And yeah, this is not to say anything negative about them. The point is, no one knows she's doing this, and she's got this following all over the world, but locally no one knows it. And one of the reporters like, well, that's YouTube, I don't follow it. Yeah, I was like, okay.
Well, but I had somebody suggest this to me, is that if I started doing local news for Macon, that I could pick up, you know, because Macon's a fairly recognizable city, and it's got a decent population, that if I started doing that, that I could get a following in the state of Georgia. And here's something that I'll just admit. I don't have a following in the state in which I live, really. It's very small. I have, you know, a few listeners near Atlanta and a few others scattered around the state, and that's it. In my own state, hardly anybody knows me. Now, there are thousands of listeners, and they're all over the world.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, and I'm not a YouTube star, but I can see how that works, where, yeah, nobody knows who you are locally, but yet there are thousands of people that download your stuff or read your articles or whatever. And I can't solve that equation. Honestly, I would not mind it if I had a little bit.
I think there is an opportunity. I'm not trying to do it right now. I will try to do it if I get the YouTube working, you know, if I figure it out, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm not saying I figured it out yet. Right. I'm doing like little experiments, basically. But I do think there may be an opportunity in YouTube and local news, although no one's doing it, at least that I see. One thing about YouTube, I think it takes a lot of work to get a big following on there.
Well, it seems to me as though it takes a lot of work.
I think that's part of the problem.
Set it up, Mike. But once you get it rolling, then it's just produce more of the same, and then you get consistency. Because, you know, I got people commenting in the chat room right now about, you know, target the young audience and this and that, and you can't really get there with news. But here's the thing. There is a gap, which you and I have discussed now for months, in between two different things. And let's just go with the hypothetical, theoretical, okay? The it bleeds, it leads, normal story. okay, so I hear about from a friend, say, in my city, my town, that something of significance has happened. Whatever it might be, it could be a fire, it could be some robbery, it could be a car accident. Doesn't matter, right? I want to hear about it. A lot of that is being delivered already in short by a phone app where I get an idea. I get a headline. They make it click through things. They got their commercials. They have a business model. Okay. And we talked about, what is the name of that, the biggest news app that everybody seems to be using right now?
Yeah, Newsbreak.
Newsbreak. Okay. So you got your Newsbreak, and you got a bunch of them just like it where you can get the delivery of, let me get informed. Now, people go to search for, well, let me see if there's video, or let me see if there's a reporter on the scene. In the old days, they might have tuned to a TV channel, and they might have waited for the you know, local news to come on. Well, nowadays, a lot of people will go to YouTube and try to find, is there somebody on the scene? And occasionally, we've seen people rise to prominence and almost start a whole career out of having to have been able to cover something on a local level, right? I'm not saying that these are like rock star type people, but they go from somebody who is out there being an amateur reporter to now having, you know, legitimate paying gigs doing it, right? And we see that happen because they basically just got on the scene with their cell phone, their tablet or something, and they do that. Okay, so that's one entrance into that. But let me get back to the person searching for the news. They search for it. There's usually not a lot. Even if they have a local news, you know, TV channel or whatever, they search and they might come across those things, but they don't stay with that thing, right? There's a gap
right,
in
that's
the mechanism.
The problem.
They, you know, like they might find, like here, GMX or I forget the other off the top of my head. I would normally know these things, but the call letters for, we have local TV, which are affiliates of major networks, which have local reporters that show up. Indeed, even when I had, you know, Mrs. O went down, right, to the circumstance at that motel last year, you remember this? Mm-hmm. And she got on the local news. They have actual reporters that'll come down. Okay. But there's a gap there, and the problem with that equation is that, okay, I did that for the local news there to find out about that. Maybe my kids live in another city. I hear about something. I want to go look at that. Nobody stays with the channel. So there's got to...
That's the problem.
Yeah. You're going from place to place and hoping to pick up something, and the pickings are slim. It's not because there's an oversaturation, which is unusual because in modern media, almost everything is oversaturated. I mean, even the complaint I have about podcasts where it's like, you know, 10 years ago, it was a super rare thing for somebody to have a podcast. And now we're going through a time period where it's like everybody and their mother tries to start one, right? And they might do a few episodes or whatever, and then they discover that they thought they had a million hours worth of material and they've really got 5 episodes in them, right? So there are thousands, in fact, hundreds of thousands of podcasts now, as opposed to the days when there were very few. So somebody filled that gap, and indeed we've seen the rise of things like Joe Rogan and various other celebrities who have a significant presence in the media, although you or I would never know about them. They're not part of our ecosphere of stuff that we would look at, but they're doing it. There's a gap there. So now how would you fill that gap? I got to tell you, it's always a post-mortem thing. After the effect, after the event, after the trend happens is usually when people go, oh, of course, this is the way this works.
Yeah.
But you and I are constantly looking for how is it, you know, we might be able to see where the gap is. We see the need, but we don't know how to manufacture the widget, right, for the demand. We know what the supply problem is, but we don't necessarily know how do you actually get the widget out there. And it's not because we're foolish or we don't understand media or, you know, what our level of understanding is with technology. It's not relevant. There's always some sort of a niche element in here and some sort of practices that need to come into play that work. And that's what it is with this YouTube situation, is you're looking for what actually works, right?
Yeah, and local on the local news where I live, there's a couple people that do videos on Facebook. There's a fella that used to be a radio working radio,
yep.
And he's semi-retired, and he's doing basically a video 15-minute segment of local news and putting it up on Facebook and getting like 2,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
And he has sponsors, so he's actually doing this for a living. But he doesn't put any of the videos on YouTube, and I know the reason why. It's because if he does, I bet you he won't get any views.
Well,
it won't work, and he doesn't know.
Well, see, that's the weird thing, too, though you and I have been on Facebook for a long time, right? And we've been offered different opportunities to try and monetize. That has changed over time. So if you and I, if I was completely informed about all the options 3 years ago on Facebook, today I'm outdated. right? And you and I had those conversations back then, and today, as we speak, there are people that are able to monetize on just Facebook. They're able to monetize also on just YouTube. They're able to monetize through some of these other platforms, and not everybody, even though it seems like they're doing the same thing, not everybody's getting the same results. And I got to tell you, most people don't even want to share any of their insights or whatever for fear of the fact that somebody else will come in and do it and take away some of what they're doing.
What I did is I bought, there's a YouTube guy called Meet Kevin that appeared in the stock market, and he became the biggest YouTube guy there is.
Well, there's about 20. Listen, there's about 20 of these guys, though.
Yeah.
That, you know, because do you pay for the YouTube premium?
No.
Okay. No, I don't either. So I get treated to, because I talk about stuff like this with you, or I search things sometimes. Of course, my commercials are customized. There's probably 15 guys that one way or another, okay, are out there offering a program. I can show you how to do this. I mean, there's even more people with the whole, I don't know, it seems to have died off a little bit, but I have an Amazon business for you. You can resell stuff on Amazon and make money. You know, the guys that keep opening up the big envelopes with piles of cash in it. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
So there's also a whole slew of these YouTube guys who swear to you they can make you a success. Everybody's got a program to sell you. I'm not belittling the one you picked, because some of these things obviously work. But do they work? I don't know. You know, you might find.
Well, I'm just going to tell you what I'm trying, what I'm experimenting, and I'm not trying to do everything this guy's doing. And I've got my own. I'm starting to come up with my own thoughts of how the whole thing might actually work. But one of the things the guy's doing is he's doing three videos. He's I made a mistake. Okay, this is after watching this to see. I made one mistake. I made is I've got three YouTube channels. One's Wall Street Window or Trader Mike something, and all I put's financial news on it. Financial stuff. And then I was using a personal Facebook page to do history stuff. I was doing a thing at Carmine for a couple months.
Oh yeah,
and we actually got a following of, it seemed like, 400 or 500 people, which is pretty good. And you know, I stopped doing it, and that's all gone. But in hindsight, after watching what this guy's couple of his videos, I should have incorporated that into one channel. There's no need to separate it.
Right.
So what he's doing is he's talking about the stock market, real estate, and news, you know, which is obviously a dime a dozen, and how many people are out there doing that. But anyway, he claims by talking about three different niche topics that he's reaching more people, and then they're able to cross over.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense to me, and that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm just doing an experiment by trying to do two or three videos a day. And one of the videos, just to give you an example, and I'm not saying, I don't know if I'm going to keep doing videos like this. I'm just trying it. But if someone goes to YouTube and types this, how would you like to live inside a guitar? That's a 6-minute video I put up.
Okay.
And what it is one of the things I've read and noticed myself, I read a lot of stuff about the news industry, and one of the hot topics in news is real estate. People like to see real estate listings.
Right.
The Wall Street Journal has an article every day about some celebrity one of these mansions being sold. People like to look at this stuff.
Let me just say something real fast, because somebody might be listening to that going, Mike is doing a video on what would it be like to live inside a guitar. Okay, it might sound like a kooky sort of thing, but I'll tell you why it's not. There are people that, you know, suddenly, one of the most boring things in the world used to be, in the age of camcorders and even before that, when people actually had film cameras, right? One of the most boring damn things in the world, Mike, was, here, I'm going to show you my vacation videos, right? Or my vacation, home movie. Home movie was the thing always used, even for videotapes, right? So people would say, let me show you. And it was usually like a sleeping pill on a screen. I mean, just ridiculous. Oh, here's where we were at the hotel. This is the lady who brought us food and blah, blah. And you fall asleep, okay? But the funny thing is, there are others who figured out how to film it right and monetize that. And remember that girl that disappeared not too long ago? And then the guy's last name was Laundry, who he winds up dying. She's dead. He's dead now.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing, right? They were an example. They weren't even like the biggest stars, but they were an example of people who said, I'm just going to film parts of my life, us traveling. And there you go. That's what we're monetizing. Now, I don't know particularly how well they were doing, but I do know there are people that just do that, where they just, I'm going to film the stuff I'm doing. And it's not like a reality TV show.
Oh, sure.
It's just they choose to, like, okay, I'm going to show you my trips. Or there's a lady on there that I watched for about a month, actually, who her whole thing is she films her trips to the grocery store. Okay? Sounds silly, but think about it. As we're talking about all these problems with inflation and the cost of living and everything else, she's got that in there. So some people that are viewing her stuff are viewing it as like an informative way to track stuff, and maybe there's a couple little trips or hints or tricks here that we can show you, couponing, whatever, and they take it for that. I don't know why everybody's watching it. But, I mean, it doesn't even apply some of the stuff as far as I'm concerned, because she lives in a different part of the country, goes to stores I don't go to. You know what I mean? For some people, it's entertainment. For some people, it's information. And to me, it's a matter of blending those things together. Now, that's a mundane topic, obviously. But, and, you know, it's not controversial, particularly, unless you want to start talking about GMO foods and stuff. Then it's mildly controversial. But, I mean, she just does that. And she's making a living. That's her job now. Going to the grocery store is her job, basically, and filming it, and then posting it. And I'm just saying, if that is a possibility, then there are clearly niches that are available, and there's a lot of gaps here. We talked about the news thing. There's a whole lot of missing stuff now. It is so corporatized.
Well, this is an example of... Well, so this thing, how would you like to live inside a guitar? What it is, it's a real estate listing. It's a house that looks like a guitar, okay, from overhead. And I just went to the realtor.com website and talked about it. 6-minute video. You go through the pictures so you can see the whole house. And then it's in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a post about it on my website, just put the video in there, and then it's gotten 116 views. Now, the news break thing has picked it up, because I put it on my website.
There you go.
And so I've done a local news story.
Right.
By making a YouTube video and then put it on my website. But the funny thing about it, and this is what's typical, if you type, and I looked, this place is near Atlanta from what I could tell on the map, but
okay,
this Fayetteville, Georgia. But anyway, if you type Fayetteville, Georgia on YouTube and see what videos come up,
mm-hmm,
this is typical of what I see in Greensboro and Winston-Salem and, the cities I've looked to find videos to make posts about on my website. And this is the kind of stuff I see. I'll just describe it. I type Fayetteville, Georgia. The top video is 1 year old. 1 year old. It's got 6,000 views. Mm-hmm. And here we go. This is this second video. The first video says it's a real estate agent. The second video is another real estate agent.
Okay.
And it says pros and cons of living in Fayetteville, Georgia. Well, every single city, Danville, Martinsville, Greensboro, Burlington, I type, you know, a dozen cities I type in, there's someone does a video like that every single month with the same title in it. These real estate agents, someone is teaching them to do this. And I can tell you, almost all the videos, they do one and then they stop. They're not really getting anywhere. And the net, so all the videos I see are old. Here's one: human trafficking busts in Fayetteville, Georgia. It's 1 year old, and it was done by Channel 46 in Atlanta. You know, everything that shows up just when you type it in is old. And then if I type, well, give me the uploads today, my video is got more views than any of them. And then there's some people putting, like, you know, house hunting tour, no views. And then a bunch of churches have videos, and car dealers are putting up videos of their cars. People are using it for their own website or business to host videos, basically. Okay. But there's nothing, you know, there's no news, there's no, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's typical. The point is, the local news really isn't on here. Right. And I'm just kind of rambling, but there is an opportunity, and somehow, I would think, but you, I think that the way you'd have to do it is to develop an audience, and you'd have to figure out how to do that. You'd have to do videos frequently, every single day, and I don't, you know, I don't know if being a TV studio is the way to even do it. It might be, I don't, you know, just going to the store and talking like you said this lady does going to grocery stores. I don't know, but
yeah, I look.
I'm not trying to do that right now. Or
no, I got you.
I will, but I'm just saying.
Which, by the way, I'm looking at this. Somebody put two of your YouTube channels in the chat room, and I went and looked, and I didn't even see this guitar thing on the Mike Swanson channel, which has like 500 something subscribers. And
yeah, it's on the other one. That's the channel I was doing the videos, the podcast, like of Carmine, a couple other people with you. I interviewed you. I know. Yeah. It's the Wall Street Window channel. Is the
Past American Century, or so it was the
I was calling it. But I thought I had to keep it separate.
Right. And
Wall Street Window is the real channel.
And now I'm looking for there it is. Well, here's a missile silo one you had.
Yeah, I did that the other day, yeah.
I'm just looking at it, and I guess one of them has got to be like, how would you like to live in a guitar? But I'm looking. I don't see it. But either way, it's on the Wall Street Window channel?
Yeah, all these are on the Wall Street Window channel. Well,
look, both of those links will be in the description here today, so you guys can go and explore Mike's stuff anyway, and subscribe to him. He's only got like 3,000 subscribers over at Wall Street Window, which, I mean, I've been stuck at just under 6,000 for, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to, this is where I'm at, 3,000.
I've been stuck at, you know, almost double you, but that's where it has remained. I get, like, no movement out of my videos anymore. I just keep it there because it's a presence on Google, honestly. But, I mean, it's crazy to me that this is still a thing. I'd love to see if that's the solution. I mean, is it all about the title that you put on that thing, you think? Or is it just...
I'm trying to talk about doing an experiment with real estate. You know, I'm trying to do videos about real estate listings or what's going on in the area. Like, I did one about Burlington, North Carolina.
Fair enough.
And you see the missile silo one.
Well, if you get to Jersey.
I'm using the Newsbreak, too. You know, their blog posts, half the views are coming from that.
Well, if you get to Jersey sometime, there is a house shaped like a piano.
Is there?
Billy Joel bought it in Oakhurst some year. I know exactly where it is because I used to work in Oakhurst, which is a small town right there on the shore. Most people, they would drive through it, they'd blink, they wouldn't even know they were there. But it's a very upper echelon kind of financially sort of town. He had a house built that was shaped like a piano. So, anyway.
Yeah, the other idea I'm going to try tomorrow,
I think he sold it by now, by the way. But anyway, yeah, good. Sorry.
Yeah, the other thing I'm going to try is two or three years ago, I was just playing around on one on the other channel I got, the one I was that Mike Swanson channel.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just decided I was watching a hearing about China, and Jim Mattis was speaking, and I just put a little like 1 minute clip of that onto I'd recorded it off TV and put it on there, and it got 40,000 views.
Wow.
Which was pretty crazy. And then I recorded something that there was a hearing in Congress about cryptocurrencies, and I put a 1 minute clip of that where they said they're going to target it and expose people using it to dodge taxes. So I'm going to try to do that a couple times and see if that'll work out. But this time I did something I've never done before.
Right.
I went and I didn't even know you could do it, but I looked it up. Janet Yellen held a press conference. Actually, I'll talk about that too. And she talked about the economy, and I wanted to get a clip of what she said. I made like a 4 minute, I took a three or four minute clip of what she said, and then I talked, you know, did a video of myself talking about it for a minute, and I'm going to put that up tomorrow and see how that will do, and if that'll work. But to get the video clip, I actually bought it from C-SPAN for $5.
Okay.
So I paid, I got the whole, it's a 30 minute clip. So if that video works, I will try to do something like that a couple of, you know, once a day or a couple times a week too.
Okay. You know, I pull audio off of stuff like that all the time. I don't pay anybody. But,
well, I've never paid for it either, but I always just, well, I just recorded it. Got a damn screenshot of my computer and recorded it and put a microphone up to it in the past. But I thought, okay, I'll just try to do it the right way.
Right, I got you.
I don't want to get strikes. On my channel.
Yeah. Well, see, no, I don't get copyright strikes for clips like that. I get copyright strikes for music all the time. But usually, you know, you got to be careful. You can't like grab.
Yeah.
You know, like if you wanted to grab, I don't know, Friends or something, you wanted to play a clip of that. If you don't do it very short and very concise, believe it or not, there's a whole problem you can create for yourself. But there are people all over the place doing the thing with the screenshot, like you're talking about with the TV, and they're doing that all over the place. And yeah, it does seem to pick up traffic where you got an excerpt of something. If you ever want audio excerpts, just let me know.
Okay.
I grab them for you. I can do that, and that doesn't cost you anything. Just me doing it for you. But, I mean, for me, it's weird. I put the audio in with the show, and I don't get that kind of... I haven't had those sorts of views in years. I mean, I used to be able to put up a video just was this show with one slide. And, you know, I was guaranteed, you know, 2, 3, 4,000, 5,000, a good guest. I'd get up to 20, 30, 50, 100,000, you know, views and no more. You know, it just doesn't work that way for me. But I'd be more than happy to help you out. If you want some audio clips, just let me know what you want and I'll go get it for you. I mean, I can literally record it, and it's a direct recording. It's not, you know, me holding a phone up or something. I like the clips that I pulled for Jack. I don't know if you listened to the show before, but we had like Rand Paul, you know, making his statements or whatever. I can get those audios and things, no problem. And you can put up a slide of Rand Paul, and that way you don't even got to pay the $5 to C-SPAN.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, because that stuff is all public record too. I mean, that's you're not going to get a copyright strike from C-SPAN per se. Okay. Like, you play stuff that they're saying in public or in the Congress. I mean, that's literally the property of the people, so not an issue.
Well, if you just take the audio, I don't see how they would, but I'm scared with the video that they might, you know.
Well, you know, don't be scared, but also, yeah, you're probably better off paying the $5 if you want to actually use the video, because I wouldn't suggest pulling up. But yet, some people get away with it. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume that they're paying a fee to somebody because if you do that even with music, you can get away with it. But the fees they're asking for are too much. You know, I wanted to use a Megadeth song as part of my intro and outro at one point. And in order to go through the proper channels and everything else, I mean, $9,000 is what I needed to do. And then I had a limited time on the license where I could use it. You know, and I'm like, oh, this is a bit much, you know. I mean, you know, I love Dave Mustaine and all, but calm down with that price. Anyways, I don't even know how we got here, but we're talking all kinds of YouTube things and what's going on in media in general. And this is informative, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people listening that, you know, have their own YouTube channels. They're trying to figure out a way to maybe, you know, get something out of it. Maybe they want to be YouTube stars. I don't know if I have people listening to me that want to be YouTube stars, but not something I'm after necessarily. But it would not be bad if we could figure out a way to, you know, put these things to work for us instead of them always just benefiting. Because, I mean, how much free content do you think you produced for YouTube? You know what I mean? Where, regardless of the numbers they report to you, you know there's more people seeing that stuff than they ever tell you.
Well, the funny thing about it, the local news angle, is that where I live, there's an independent TV station, almost like public access, in a neighboring city. I mentioned the guy that used to be on radio. Now he's doing radio style news on YouTube and getting 1,000, 2,000 views a day.
He said he was on Facebook, right? He's doing the
Facebook. Yeah, these people are all on Facebook.
And there's a way to specifically monetize Facebook, which you and I looked at, went over, and all that before privately. I know. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but we talked about it. You know, and I don't know that I want to get in business with Facebook.
I don't. And you know, that's one of the stories this week. Is that they're doing another pivot. They say that they're going to change the news feed again and make it all algorithm driven, and 30% of the feed will be people you don't even know and don't even subscribe to. They're just going to cram it at you.
Well, here we go
so
again.
It's kind of disturbing, but they said they're going to do that yesterday in an earnings call. So I don't know. I mean, got images of the whole thing redesigned.
Well, I swear, years and years from now, we're going to be reading about the long-term effects of on the sociological, you know, standing of America based on the Facebook effect. I think it's going to be a thing that they're going to talk about how it changed the literal group psychology, the literal sociological posture and process in America. I think Facebook has had a long-term effect. It's almost irrelevant in my mind, but there are still plenty of people living on it. And you know, it's still a thing unto itself. So Facebook has more gifts to give, even if you don't really want them.
I don't want them. I don't like it.
I am so sick of it. And yet, I won't, you know, people go, why don't you cancel your account and get off?
Yeah, I can't.
You can't just turn it off because there are people that, again, live there, and I'd like to be able to reach some of them and maybe convince them to stop living on Facebook, you know? I really would, but I don't know. There's an odd effect on society here altogether that has come from Facebook. But anyway, I know we've gone in a weird direction here, Mike. Did you intend to discuss this tonight? Or?
I could have gone in all kinds of directions, but...
Okay. Hey, fair enough. I mean, I hope you don't feel as though I pushed you into talking about
it. No. I've got like 10 different things in my mind. This is one of them. So
fair enough.
And I haven't talked about this anywhere else, so that's good too.
Yeah. No. Hey, look. Exclusive right here on the Ocelli Event. Mike Swanson discusses the the intricate workings of YouTube. This will be an interesting thing to see what you come up with, because.
Well, one thought that also occurred to me as I've been thinking about this is I thought of YouTube as a show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I got a financial show, and I guess that's why I was trying to do the other thing on that other personal channel.
Right.
But in the end, I think And I think that's how people think about it. So, like, someone's going to do local news. Oh, I'm going to do a local news thing and see if it works. Then it doesn't. It doesn't seem like, at least the places I've looked, it's worked for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps the way to think of it is if it's a station in which you put different shows on it, if that makes sense. That can be about different topics.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at is, look, you can't think of it as I'm producing a TV show. Because, you know, in the old school way of looking at it, with a TV station, you know what, it doesn't have one thing on it. I know we're used to the idea of the customized, you know, generally speaking, it's only got this on it. But if you notice over time, everything, you know, much like the old complaint of MTV, music television has no music on it. Okay. Over time, they have just created a mishmash of stuff. It's not like this where the channels are just customized for one particular thing. You know, the History Channel ended up, you know, with Pawn Stars and God knows what else. Where's your history there? Well, they do handle historical items. Yeah, that's about how far that goes, right? Why was Honey Boo Boo on the Learning Channel? You know, Mike, I mean, really, there's a lot of, AMC, American Movie Classics, right? Well, they started producing their own content. Nothing stays to format. So that's I think that's the lesson, is that honestly when it comes down to it, and this is why I do all sorts of different things on my channel, although I have not found a successful mix yet, but I mean, I put up the puppy video. I don't know if you saw I put on my channel. Just the pups. Did you see the puppies?
No, I'm going to go look at them. We won't get off the air.
Yeah, no problem. One or two shows ago, you'll just see, I think I named it Weenie Dog and Her Five Pups. And that's what it is.
Oh, it's, I see him.
Yeah. That's my dog, Lucy, and the five new puppies. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, these guys are cool. I pick up a couple of them, tell you what their names are, and I'll just put something like that on my channel. you see, the rest of it's mostly the radio shows. But I was thinking myself that if I diversify that channel, who knows, it might come back to life and maybe get some more views for the stuff like it is we're doing right now.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do also.
Yeah. So, well, you and I have the same ideas in mind. But I'm willing to bet somehow that you're going to figure out more than me. Because I'm busy battling with other things. I mean, I'm an online radio station, right? I'm producing other shows. I'm doing all this other stuff. YouTube, for me, because there's no monetary incentive, to be honest with you, it's not like something I want to work on. But who knows? You might unlock the thing that makes it easier for the rest of us somehow to push the things through that we really want because we're able to create the rest of the content that makes it work better. I think that would be wonderful. I look forward to seeing what it is you come up with. And if not, I guarantee you, you're going to learn some things about the media as it stands, which even those of us producing media need to learn all the time because this crap is constantly changing. What do you say?
Yeah. Oh, it is for sure. Definitely. Now, hopefully, it seems like, you know. Well, I mean, that's what I wonder if, to use the local news example, these local TV stations, they don't seem to be catching on, and on YouTube. And what does that mean? Does that mean YouTube is not really television?
No, it's not.
You know, it's a different medium. I'm not exactly sure, you know?
Yeah,
it's still not, video, though.
Yeah, no, it's not television, right? And television exists on YouTube, but television's only a very small part of YouTube, even though they are now literally a television provider. See, that's the funny thing. When you're talking about local news, it's like, okay, my local news affiliates, like I was talking to you about before, all of them have a YouTube channel. They all have a YouTube channel, but even them, you know, the local Fox affiliate, WMAZ, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just there. It's just part of the ecosystem. It's none of it's hugely popular at all. I mean,
I mean. It's not. I'm looking at Macon, Georgia, right? I'm just typing that in. Home for sales. Here we go. 13 WMAZ. 2 days ago, 97 views on that.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's not really. Yeah. Doing that one. And but I know here's one, they did one of 200 views, but here's the thing about it. On Facebook, these video, the local stuff gets over 1,000 views, 2,000 views. So why does it work there, not on YouTube? I think it could work on YouTube, but
it could, but somebody's missing part of the equation. Like
something's not being done to make it work.
Right, something's missing there. But again, Facebook, now you take a look at that same thing. If you go to MAZ's Facebook, right, and take a look at the same news story that video clip's from, yeah. I guarantee you the traffic on Facebook is higher. And I mean a lot. Like when Kim was on and I was watching the video, see how many people saw her on there, right? It was like, I don't know, 20, 30 people on YouTube to begin with. And then we literally heard from more people about it. And I know they're not watching TV. I wanted to find out why. I go to the MAZ Facebook. That story has reached a whole lot of people.
On the flip side of it, these people where I live, some of these reporters and stuff, and people in general, they get the impression that Facebook completely dominates everything, and it doesn't, because I can tell you from my own website traffic on local news articles where I live, I get more traffic from Newsbreak than Facebook.
Of course you
do. And I've had a couple stories that kind of went viral that I wrote that people shared, and I get more traffic. Facebook isn't half the traffic, but it seems like it is. It's, because it's people are on it so much. The people that are on it.
And by the way, I had a weird thing happen with the last show that I did with you, just so you know. I don't know why at all, but I have a typical, level of downloads that I know I'm going to get in the first week or so. And for every show, right? Certain things, I got a special guest or whatever, they might come up a little, but pretty much we got a consistent sort of this is what is going to happen. There was a massive jump in the downloads for the show you and I did. And I have no idea why. Literally, it was triple the normal numbers for no reason. No offense, Mike. I mean, I'm not saying people shouldn't come in triple and quadruple time for you, but what I'm saying is, it just came out of nowhere. It was Vietnam we were talking about. That was what was in the title, right? And I don't know, for some reason, that one got 3 times the views on a bunch of platforms. Now, it didn't do anything on YouTube, I don't think, different. But some of these other platforms where people literally download the show, it was higher. It was 3 times.
It wasn't
times.
Me, because I didn't post the show till yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't your follow-up article, which is great. There's a follow-up article on WallStreetWindow.com, which I shared on social media and whatever, but it wasn't that. I have no explanation. Vietnam is not a fresh hot topic either.
It could
either.
Be the topic. I mean, it's the topic. I don't know what else it would be.
Well, I think in the rest of the time on the show, I think I took phone calls or just rambled out of my mouth for no reason. And it went 3 times as high as any normal show that week. Really,
really
weird.
Let me take a look at I'm gonna look at the book sales. Maybe it picked up,
I don't know. Something happened. And it was a weird thing to see. And I was really surprised by it and thought maybe it was a mistake. I'll tell you, it always gets me thinking, if I could get a nickel for every download, I wouldn't ask for donations, I really wouldn't. And there's another case where it would be, we had a good night there. But oddly, some of these things do things, and I just have zero clue as to why. Even though I know that certain things are supposed to increase views, if you happen to strike on a hot topic at the time, you have, a special guest. Things like this will make it go up. But this is one of those, freak occurrences where I know what the Mike Swanson Thursday hour gets.
Yeah.
And it's typical. It's good. It's healthy. But this was all of a sudden triple in the first week.
Well, that's good to know. Maybe we need to talk about Vietnam more frequently than...
Well, we've talked about Vietnam many times, and I don't see that kind of jump.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm confused. If somebody out there knows why, please let me know. I don't understand all this stuff, and people get into it and start telling you about their formulas and everything else, and quite frankly, I don't know anybody. If I did know somebody, I would find a way to make an exchange with them to help it out so we could really, you know, explode and expand, but oddly, sometimes things just pop up out of nowhere. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. I've now taken you just a touch over time, so sorry about that, Mike, but we did start a little late. And anything else that you want to get to or something that you didn't get to discuss or mention?
Oh, I can't think of anything right now. Well, something will come up before next show, I'm sure.
It always does. But are we going to have you next week? Or
yeah,
you
I'll be something here.
All right, great. Who knows what the topic will be? Maybe we'll have to discuss Vietnam. Not sure. Okay. But in the next hour, I don't see my my upcoming guest arriving as they should, but we'll go to break anyway. Mike Swanson, WallStreetWindow.com. Be in the know. Go to WallStreetWindow.com. I'll urge you to go over there all day long. Hopefully you can figure out a way to make YouTube help him out with that. But I guess we'll have to stay tuned to find out about that. Also, the author of The War State, Why the Vietnam War. Just so happens that's what we were talking about last week. But anyway, you never know. There's a million things we could talk about with Mike. And WallStreetWindow.com is not just about Wall Street. Neither is Mike. We didn't even touch on the economy, Mike.
Talk about that next time. They said there's no recession.
Yeah, I really would have liked to have gotten into that with you. Like, there is no recession and all this other nonsense. Anyway, next time, Mike Swanson, everybody, WallStreetWindow.com. The Ocelli Effect will return after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so...
Yeah, that is
the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapon. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination spoken to her claim?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Uncle, do you remember that time when the year 2012 was going to create the apocalypse, end of the world?
Right. And
and it thought it would come to the end.
Did it ever end up that way?
No. Yeah. Like we say, the only way it will end is when he is ready for it to end. That's how it is.
So if you want the real truth about 2012, you better listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
RadioPodcast.com.
Yeah, forget John Cusack.
John Cusack
doesn't know,
what he's talking actually about. Correct.
But we here at the Ocelli Radio Network sure do.
Do you understand and understand where it's actually coming from?
Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com. Ocelli.com.
Back to the live show, and I gotta tell you guys, I think I might bag this one early. I got a lot of editing to do, so and I got to re-record something for the book. I got a bunch of work. So I don't know if you guys really want to hear me rant and ramble for too long, but let's give you a little something on this side of the show tonight. Maybe we'll get to 2 hours anyway, because apparently I'm long-winded. excuse me. But I was producing Jack Blood's show today. I am a little disappointed with Jack's view on Ukraine, to be honest, and all that good stuff. But, you know, look, I've never tried to censor anybody's content on here, and I've definitely aired things that I object to. So, despite the stories that might be being told about me at this time, I have aired other people's points of views that seriously clash with mine, and Jack's point of view on Ukraine today is clearly an example of that. Plus, I notice he's going to a lot of Tucker Carlson type clips and everything. Not something I would do. But and also, yeah, I find Tom Cruise to be rather suspect. I'm not on board with the whole Scientology is okay thing either. But look, I don't want to spend my time just commenting on Jack, and I thought about taking phone calls, but you know what? It's Thursday, and I didn't get my second hour guest, so let's just roll for a minute. First of all, when it comes to Ukraine, okay, you know, I still have my sympathies for the people that are having to suffer through this. I still don't believe for a second that Vladimir Putin's a good guy. I don't believe for a second that, you know, Rand Paul is necessarily a willing and knowing asset of Russian propaganda. But let's be honest, if you pick up their propaganda and you run with it because you think it's real, and it's all real, and you want to stand on a certain side, you might get called those names. So it is what it is. Both sides of the alleged equation, they're doxing the alleged enemies who are able to have a platform and make statements. And there you have it. Now, a leader of a country in a time of war shutting down opposition voices at that time, it's not a sign that that this is a complete totalitarian regime. It's a sign of practicality. How do I stand on the whole thing when it comes to all this money being sent into the war machines at all? Frankly, I oppose it. But if we're going to have programs like this where American taxpayer money and other treasures are going to be dumped into equations to defend a nation, sorry, I feel a lot better about defending Ukraine than I do about Israel. I am not in favor of that either. But anyway, as it stands, you know, again, I don't think that the President Zelensky there is necessarily a squeaky clean model of democracy. But at the same time, in the grand ecosphere of things that we could be supporting, I don't feel too terribly bad about that. Or, but there's Nazis there, Chuck. Are they running the government? No. Let me just tell you, no. And all of the ideas that, you know, there are these massive biochemical labs and all this stuff going on there, I got to tell you again, I've got a hard time believing that they could squeeze that much into a place that has so many other things going on and is only the size of Texas, or at least it was, until Putin took territory. Displaced people, threw them out of their homes, much like our friend Amir, who again is not Ukrainian but lives there and has a Ukrainian wife, who I hear from time to time. He was in the chat room last night. I'm sorry, I'm not siding with Nazis, I'm not siding with, but what do you think, honestly, is the percentage of those individuals there? And oh, by the by, even if there is evil things going on in Ukraine, do you hold the entire population responsible? Should they all be under a warlike situation? Do you think they're all Nazis, everybody? I mean, what would it be like if there was an invasion of this country and they held just certain segments of the population against all of us? How about if somebody decided to invade because, let's go with one that I don't think is as evil as some other people do. But let's just say, you guys started this Black Lives Matter thing. You're the Black Lives Matter country. We need to shut you down. How about if that's the justification? How about if the justification is, oh, I don't know, the narco-terrorism that occurs in many nations and no news outlet at all covers? How about if it's that purpose? You people have terrorized us with your drugs. So let's blow up, I don't know, Pennsylvania. You think that would work? Would that be justifiable? Would it be okay to destroy Kansas because of the drug war that does have real-life consequences in various nations? Where literally people, for the sake of the profit margin, are terrorizing and brutalizing local populations with impunity. Well, what if somebody decided we need to put a stop to this because it's the American regimes, it is America itself that funds, supports, and is the greatest customer for all of the great drug trafficking? Well, maybe we need to attack them. And they come to your town. Is that justifiable? Are you part of that equation, really? And don't give me this crap about, well, you know, the guys that decide to... Even the junkies nearby who are buying, you know, crystal meth or crack or what... You know what? Are they making the decisions? Are they responsible for the terrorism in the other countries that, you know, the different cartels, not just in Mexico, but in many other places, have used to once again brutalize and terrorize populations for real? Not the political rhetorical version of it, but I mean for real. Brutal. Brutal stuff has happened to many populations. No news. It doesn't even matter that if it bleeds, it's not going to lead. Could that be a justifiable thing for invading part of this country? Let's just say the Russians want to take back Alaska because of it. There are people there that they think are their people, and they need to protect them from all of us drug-crazed lunatics that are part of America. Or our Nazi contingent, which we do have. There are Nazis in America, you know that, right? There are racists in America. There are people that do believe that others on the planet should be wiped out systematically, one way or another, and absolutely. How about if they hold that segment of the population against all of the people in Alaska and they decide to take back that territory? Because historically, despite the sale, it should belong to Russia anyway. Would that sit well with you? Because, well, Putin was a strong leader when we had the weak sister Obama in there. And, you know, anti-Obama meant pro-Putin. I mean, he's bare-chested on a horse. All good, right? And how dare you think that a guy could be taken seriously as a president because he was on TV? And do you forget we had 4 years and probably four more years of Trump coming up? The guy whose claim to fame was the skill to tell people that they were fired? This country, you know, from the outsider point of view, I mean, we made that guy president. Maybe that's justifiable, even though he's not there now. Hey, the corruption of the past. Would that be a justifiable reason for, I don't know, pick a place where maybe they might take offense to that? I mean, after all, why take a place seriously that would put a TV guy in charge of the country? Or a bad movie actor like Ronald Reagan, who sucked. I don't know how people are going, well, Ronald Reagan was a good actor. He sucked. Come on. He was a terrible actor when he was in Hollywood. He did a better job in, you know, D.C., and his makeup was funny in D.C. It was, you know, he had much better makeup jobs in Hollywood. But, you know, appearances sake, I guess it wasn't that big a deal because the resolution on a TV back then, you didn't even realize that he was, you know, made up to look like one of Howdy Doody's demented cousins. That's okay. Well, I've got to tell you, I believe in America. Guy already sounded a bit off and odd. Oh, well, maybe it's justifiable that we need to be gone after because we have put a frail old man in charge of the nuclear arsenal. We are now a threat. How about that? Could there be 100 hate-filled reasons why America does bad things? How about the individuals that might say American corporations came into our country and created a situation by which slave labor was, oh, I don't know, kept in effect for a very long time, and the whole system had to be built so you people could have your iPhones. The Chinese decide they need to take back some territory somewhere, or at least get payback for that, because they've now changed their politics and they've decided we need to pay for it. Or the Koreans had suffered, or how about if the Vietnamese decided to take it out on us? What about Afghanistan? We did them a lot of favors. How about Iraqis? Does anybody have a justifiable reason, a real-world reason, where they might want to respond because their population, their way of life, was actually challenged? We did actually send pretty much, I mean, you know, a multi-level, multi-character grouping of mass shooters into a country like Iraq under false pretenses, invaded and destroyed a sovereign nation under false pretenses. Who would dispute that those pretenses were false? Not many, if they're being honest, because the weapons of mass destruction. Did we find them? No, maybe we did, but we didn't want anybody to take a look at the receipt or bill of lading on them because might have found out that we gave them a gift. And, you know, it's almost like, here, I'm going to give you a bag of weed, and now I'm going to arrest you for possessing weed. Which, again, is a ludicrous thing, but I'm not going to go there. You know, what are we talking about here? A place the size of Texas, it's that evil, that concentrated with such terrible things that it's totally acceptable for a population to suffer as they are. Now, does it mean that America needs to be the world's police? Look, I'd love, as I said, to see the end of the military-industrial complex's need to exist on the level that it does. Love to see it. But I have to live in this world, and I'll tell you, living in this world, there are many other places that our resources, our treasure, our people are dispatched to, where if it is a collective concern and it is being done in mine and your name, I think we should question these things for sure. And I don't say you shouldn't question what's going on in Ukraine, but if you're going to read almost verbatim what the Russian propaganda really is, and make no mistake, it would be malpractice on a nation's part if they didn't participate in some program of propaganda while they were prosecuting a war. Make no mistake, it has to be done. If you're going to prosecute a war, I mean, you don't do it halfway. You need the propaganda. You need all that stuff. I get it. If Tulsi Gabbard wants to parrot it, though, and somebody wants to call her that, I'm not all that upset. Tucker Carlson wants to read from Putin's script. You have choices. Turn off the channel. Stop making him popular. Or support it. But how about be upfront about it? None of this stuff is a clear black and white issue, by the way. It never is. And if you think you're well informed about a situation, the second that you start thinking that you're completely well informed about what's going on in Ukraine, that is the moment you should begin to intensify your questioning of it. Because we are all misled and misinformed by the majority of the things out there that claim to do just that. So again, I don't want to take up all the time, but I also don't have any sort of love for Glenn Greenwald, for Tulsi Gabbard, or Rand Paul, because Rand Paul, first of all, is not Ron Paul. Ron Paul, I had some respect for. Ron Paul, I thought, was a more legitimate human being. Wasn't some punk ass that got beat up by his neighbor. Wasn't some guy that, you know, sticks to a line and, what can I say? This guy is not any more useful or useless than any other senator anyway. He's not special in my mind. He's still special by association in many other people's minds because they still want to reminisce about what could have been with Ron Paul. But if you had any sort of sense to begin with, you would have known that the Ron Paul revolution wasn't going to work. Anyway, one side of the equation or the other, pick a side, pick a side, pick a side. I'm not doing it. What I'm saying is that when it comes to the Ukraine situation, I can't get on board with exactly the things that the Russians want you to say. I can't do it. It costs me money not to do it. Always does. Just like not supporting Trump costs me money, costs me all kinds of things. But if I'm going to just get on here and lie, I mean, I'd rather create much more creative and interesting lies than the crap that the propaganda bureaus of the United States or Russian Federation or the European Union. I think I can come up with better BS. I might as well just present to you an entire alternate reality on this microphone and go there and talk nonsense that is intentionally nonsense. If that's what I'm going to do. As for why it is, and I privately spoke to Jack this week about how he is quite right-wingy to me right now. He denied it and wanted to point out that I seem to be a little left-wingy. I don't deny it. I deny that I have any association with the current alleged left. But what the left wing might have been, maybe I have some sympathies there indeed. I mean, even the silliness during Jack's show of, you know, well, you don't want to get on the healthcare system here because it's so slow and terrible. I don't know. I don't know about that. I got to say that, you know, when you think about that, is something better than nothing comes to mind in my mind, because here in the United States, here's the bottom line. You got the cash, you might get to live. Or at least you'll live a little longer if you have the cash to support that. But if not, you don't have a right to health care. You don't have a right to live. Because we're going to support all the stuff that poisons you. But none of the stuff that could possibly heal you. Collective money. The taxes. My taxes, my taxes. Yeah, that. That and everything else that they steal from you on a daily basis, it'll fund the GMO food. It'll fund all the crap that makes, you know, diabetes, you know, a huge contingent of people in this country. It'll fund all the people that are sick from various things that they didn't necessarily choose, but were the only choices they had. Whether it is the water that is in their community, which is toxic in so many places. I mean, hey, pay no attention to that, right? I mean, the Flint water crisis isn't a headline, so that was the only place that happened, Chuck, only in bad neighborhoods. Yeah, you better not really examine the stuff that comes out of your tap. And, oh, well, that's not their problem. That's not anybody's problem. It's your problem if you don't have your own filtered water. Okay, cool. How about the air that you breathe, though? Is that problematic at all? Anybody notice there's some problems with that? I guess allowing all of these wonderful corporations to profit while they poison you and poison the air, which, again, you know, to the best of my knowledge, there's no alternative source for air when you're in a particular location. You either breathe that or you go somewhere else to breathe somewhere else. Where is it safe to breathe, by the way? Anybody know? Where is it safe to drink the water anymore? Does anybody know? Is your food remotely safe? Is it allowed to be as it is because of an intelligent design to keep you sick, to keep you weak, to make sure that your lifespan might not be shortened, but it will be weakened? Do we have to make sure that the dumbest things in the world are absolutely shoved down everybody's throat so there is no possibility of an actual education outside of the blessing of the academics, which, oh boy, I don't have enough time to go into how bad that is. A little bit of practical knowledge wrapped in a whole bunch of disinformation, and it's not political or social. It's about making sure that people are dysfunctional. And pay no attention to your greater psychiatry profession, which Jack also covered, but it's always worthy of covering. And here's where I can come back and agree with him. That industry, that psychiatric industry, not a scientifically based reality. People want to present it as part of the solution. Oh, well, what about the mass shooters? We need things for more mental health, don't you think? You know what? We do need collectively to address mental health issues, but psychiatry is not your friend. It really is not. There are basics involved there, much like going to an allopathic doctor at this point. If you need a battlefield medic, you need a bone set, you need some antibiotics, they might be the guy to go to. But when it comes to making things more survivable or making you healthier, you're going to the wrong people. That's not what their business model is based on. But anyway, going back to the psychiatry issue, the constantly shifting, politically strange experiment that is this pseudo-esoteric practice, and not even pseudoscience, but just fake science, that is psychiatry. They don't want you to use natural things at all. They don't want you to be well and strong and get yourself back under your own control. They don't want you to be able to mind control yourself. That's not the point. The entire business model is based on one thing, and just one thing. Make repeat customers. Now, if you can keep them in a semi-suicidal state long enough, but they don't actually pull it off because they're doped up enough that they just can't get motivated, it's a win. If you can keep people in a state of believing that they still need to constantly go, kind of like a chiropractor, you constantly need maintenance. What else would you constantly maintain like that without making it part of normal practices? I mean, look, to make your body healthy, if you choose to eat the right things more often, that's one of the best solutions because, you know, the old adage, you are what you eat. Well, you will become what you eat. And if you can make your food into your medicine, you have just created the proper way to be. You have just created a more livable state. With psychiatry, it's not about getting out of that and making your daily practices better. Making it so that the act of living actually promotes a living experience that is more conducive to survival. That's not the point at all. Continuous need, continuous maintenance. If I told you you had a skin condition where you had to go to a doctor every single week for a treatment, and, you know, there are people that go for stuff like dialysis and things like that a couple times a week, three times a week, they suffer a fatigue from that after a while. There are plenty of people on dialysis that, because they constantly have to go to maintenance, they just don't want to survive it anymore. I've known people like this. It's horrendous. It's not a matter of making a practice out of taking a medicine, although that's helpful because it's profitable. It's a matter of constantly being dependent upon an industry that will absolutely make sure you spend all your money. It's like going to a casino. They're not interested in you'll give them a little bit of disposable income. They want to keep you there, keep you engaged, so that eventually you'll play long enough, and you could win sometimes. But you'll give it back. If you stay there long enough, you'll give it back. If you stay there long enough, no matter what you gain, you'll give it back. There is psychiatry. Be the constant customer. Oh, by the way, you can also get pharmaceuticals and be the customer for the pharmaceutical industry, because we work hand in glove. And the funny thing about this is I've never, Jack said that, you know, the pharmaceutical industry doesn't partner with Fox News. I guess he doesn't actually watch Fox News. They do. They just have different product lines there. It's a lot of ED medications and, you know, stuff for the fact that men just suddenly don't have testosterone because our levels are dropping. It's a lot of that and catheters and a lot of things about, you know, people that are older and not necessarily healthy to begin with. Hey, and oh, and my pillow, you know. Because that guy doesn't look like a Paul Bearer from the old WWE. What was that guy's name? Percy Pringle? Always seems to go back to wrestling, doesn't it? Anyway, guys, I'm thinking to myself that I've ranted long enough about this and addressed what I think I needed to address. I don't know, man. I've got stuff to record. I've got things to do. And I haven't actually eaten today, so I'm going to go eat some food. And I'm going to try and eat something healthier, and I'm going to try and consume healthier things, and I'm going to, you know what, I need to stop saying try. I'm going to do what I am able to regarding this. I'm also going to take into my mind that practices that are constant, things that you do on a daily basis, those adjustments, your behaviors literally, can dictate your health, not just when it comes to food and not just when it comes to the psychiatric stuff, but all together, your own constant practices will be the best contributor to your health or lack thereof. What it is you choose to support, what it is you choose to engage with, what it is you choose to internalize, all these things are going to be the best indicator of what will come next. You make your future today, even though your future never comes. And when it comes to the politics and it comes to all this other toxic nonsense and everything else, yeah, on some levels, there's no escaping it. Just like the air I was talking about and water and, God help us, food and medicine and all those things. It is the best indicator what it is that you choose. And I know a lot of choices are, unfortunately, not there. There's not a large menu. But I think that if we make the effort to make our constant practices our best and most balanced practices, most loving practices as opposed to fear, love versus fear, that paradigm will always stay with me. Yes, Bill Hicks, but he's not the only one. If our best efforts are placed on the love line in the casino, we may actually have a chance of not just letting the house consume us. And you never know who else you might give a chance to. So keep your minds open, keep your heads up. Please contribute to Ocelli.com. I can always use your help to keep things going, and I'm trying, not trying, I'm taking my best shots at expansion and improvement over here, and I'll be able to do that with you.